Amen. So I stand here to again just say, worthy is the Lamb. I mean, again, to celebrate the work that God has done here. You know, even just seeing the people being interviewed, you know, on that video, to go back and look at 25 years and just see the sovereign hand upon, you know, this body of believers is just truly a remarkable thing with no human explanation. And that's the way we prefer it, because again, then the Lord receives the glory and the honor that is due to him. But I think back 25 years ago, many of you may not even know the story. Again, 70 people who stepped out of South Norfolk Baptist Church felt a calling to this area of Chesapeake. You can go back 25, 30 years ago and see what the Lord has done just in this area of Chesapeake. And so a vision implanted by God with a group of people to put a church here. And even this property, such a sovereign hand of God through a relationship with Ray Curling, as many of you know, that you know God opened the door for a church to be built right here on this property with an interstate right in our backyard. Again, just time after time after time, the hand of God that humans could not accomplish themselves. But I shared this a couple of weeks ago. You can imagine the body being taken when 6 months before you walk into your physical building, as I shared, for the first 8 years, River Oak didn't have a building. And so for the first 8 years, this body that went from 70 that eventually grew to about 253, we're meeting in high schools all over this area. Hickory High School, Great Bridge High School, Oscar Smith High School. To the point where they had purchased the property, they were looking to build upon the property, and just months before walking into their building, their pastor, their planting pastor, Dr. Dennis Colbreth, again, who I believe God is honoring many of those blessings from those years of faithfulness, felt a calling into missions. So you can imagine a body of believers going, wait, what do you mean, Pastor? We've been preparing to go into the promised land, to our own physical space where we can do ministry on Monday and on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, our own space. But again, I commend his faithfulness to surrender to a calling. And I shared this 2 weeks ago. A lot of pastors would have said, you know what? No, I've earned the right to be the first guy to preach on that property. But he felt the calling to missions. He yielded and he surrendered. Dr. David Bounds came in. Many of you remember that in an interim period. I was serving as a student pastor down the street at Bethel Baptist Church. And at that time, God called Amber and I here in 2008. And for the last 15 years, again, we have just witnessed, as they did for the first 10, the Lord just doing things over and over and over again. And I stand on this stage to tell you, to God be the glory, because I know who your pastor has been for the last 15 years. And it's in spite of him. To God be the glory. Can I get an amen this morning? Amen. And so we just want to celebrate today. Absolutely. We celebrate. We believe that this is just the beginning. We believe there's so much more to come. So take your Bibles with me, if you would. We're going to look at something. So on a day of celebration, isn't it fitting that we go to the book of Lamentations? And so take your Bibles, if you would, and go to Lamentations. But there's a passage there that you'll find very familiar. Let me say this. We've got our sportsman banquet this Friday. Want to invite you to come be a part of that. Still opportunities to be a part of that. We've got a table set up that you can go get more information. You can go online. Sid Bream is our keynote speaker, who played for the Braves years ago, an avid outdoorsman who loves Jesus, has an amazing testimony. He's going to come and share the gospel. And we've said this before. If you've got neighbors, our friends, our family that's a little weirded out about a Sunday morning, it's a great opportunity to bring them on a Friday night to eat good food, to hear a good testimony, and to be around a lot of camouflage. And so come Friday night and be a part of that. Okay, that's our sportsman's banquet. And again, we've seen the Lord going back over these last years, use that ministry in an amazing way. And those guys do a tremendous job. Let me say this. Blake did an amazing job last Sunday. Can I just say that, Pastor Blake? He's not allowed to preach for a long time, so I hope y'all got a good feel of him last Sunday, because you ain't gonna get no more. But I saw that. I remember meeting with Blake years ago. He was playing football at Old Dominion. You remember? And you Tech fans will definitely remember. He was playing football for Old Dominion, and I remember sitting in my office, and he was so torn. He felt a calling into ministry. And he's like, man, my passion has shifted. Like what I was passionate about with football and all that, I'm now passionate about full-time ministry. And many of you know the story and his testimony of how that came about. I remember he invited me to come speak at a football Bible study. And I remember walking in and he had about 20 guys sitting in a room listening to him share for the first 20 minutes. And when it was time for me to speak, everyone in the room, including myself, was disappointed. I was like, no, I don't want to speak. They don't want me to speak. Keep speaking. And so I got to see God's hand upon this young man. I remember walking out of there thinking, I wish I was that bold 20 years ago when I was playing basketball at Old Dominion as a walk-on. I wish that I stood in a room and stood for Jesus the way that young man just did. And I remember walking out of there being challenged as his pastor, being challenged by his walk then. And so how fitting last Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, for Blake to be preaching on Sunday morning. By the way, he only had a 3-day notice, by the way. I've been sick with a stomach thing, and I called him on Thursday at 12. And that's what you got on. So he ain't preaching no more. Let me just say that right now. All right, take your Bibles with me and stand with me, if you would, the book of Lamentations. I want to read this passage of scripture and just share a little bit of my heart. And then again, just celebrate the work that God has done. Lamentations 3, the context of this, the setting of this, we quote these verses down in 21 to 24, and that's what we're going to read this morning. And a lot of times we'll have them posted on the wall and in cards, but really, if you understand the surroundings of what's happening here, it's not a very good setting. This is Jeremiah lamenting. This is Jeremiah looking at what he told his people would happen, right? Utter destruction. Babylonian captivity, Jerusalem destroyed, the temple destroyed. And so here you have, and you know in Lamentations 3, the verses even leading up to 21, he's just whining and complaining of God. This is utter destruction. But then he comes to verse 21. And it's almost as if the Lord took his hand and put it upon the chin of Jeremiah and just did this. And said, look, all you can see is utter destruction, but you recognize that I'm still sovereign over all that you see. And he provides a glimpse of hope in these three verses of scripture. And it's a great transition, I believe, to next week. We're going to begin a series in Joseph, in the story of Joseph in Genesis. And if you know anything of that story, it's trusting God when you can't see God. It's trusting the heart of God when you can't see the hands of God. And here is Jeremiah proclaiming these words as he's looking upon utter destruction. All he has is his faith, and it's all he needs that provides his hope. Watch this. Verse 21, Lamentations 3. He pauses, recognizing the battles in the mind. He stops the stinking thinking, and he puts his mind upon the hope that is true. Watch this. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Can I get an amen this morning? They are new every morning. Can I get an amen this morning? Here it is. We can all say it in spite of ourselves and in the testimony of our church. Great is your faithfulness. And then listen to what he says. The Lord is my portion. Not this stuff. Not this temple, not these surroundings. The Lord is my portion, and even in utter destruction and what my senses can feel and comprehend, in my Lord, I have hope. Therefore, I hope in him. Join with me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the work that you have done. Lord, our hope is in you and only in you. Lord, we are broken vessels. Lord, every single one of us, sinners who have fallen way short of your glory. And so, Lord, anything you do in our lives that is eternal and good, Lord, we recognize is only by your work in our lives. It's only by the power of your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we acknowledge that this morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. As we celebrate these last 25 years, we celebrate the faithfulness of our God. We celebrate the message of the gospel. And Lord, we look forward to the next 25 years. And Lord, we pray that that body will be able to say thank you as we say today to the body that's been here for 25 years. Thank you for your faithfulness, your sacrifice, because lives have been changed through the message of Jesus. And so Lord, that is our prayer this morning as we continue. May the name of Christ be lifted high, because that is the only place where our hope is found. Lead us and guide us this morning, we pray. It's in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. It's a great transition again to next week. And I really last, kind of debated how much to go into this week, but it really is a great introduction to next Sunday morning, Genesis 37. I would encourage you to go and get ahead and read Genesis 37 all the way through the rest of the book, the story of Joseph. And what we're going to do is we're going to walk through chapter by chapter. We're going to kind of approach it expositionally, if you will, but from a narrative style. And so we'll walk through it kind of verse by verse, chapter by chapter. But I want to get the full glimpse of this, because if you know anything of the story of Joseph, there's a ton in here. For parents, it talks about the danger of favoritism. Can I get an amen? Right? There's a lot here, right? Forgiveness. But I think the thread that runs through it all is sovereignty. God's sovereignty. And I believe this is why the Lord has led this on my heart as we go into the story of Joseph. Because I challenge you this week to go and especially focus as you begin in chapter 37. We know that there's a break in 38. That's the story of Judah and Tamar, which is a crazy story. To think that that's the line that Jesus came out of, the line of Judah, Tamar mentioned, right, in the birth announcements of Jesus in Matthew. And so it's amazing even to see God's grace and sovereignty in that messed up situation in Genesis 38. But when you come to Genesis 39, the story of Joseph is he's already been sold into slavery by his brothers. He's been done wrong. But then the beginning verses of opening 39 is that God is now blessing him. And you would almost think that it ends in verse 6. You could say, well, the story of Joseph, boom, verse 6, because God's blessings upon him, because although his brothers did him wrong, he remained faithful, and it says that the Lord was with him. Four times it says the Lord was with him. But it says the Lord was with him in the opening verses during the time of blessings. But if you know the story of Joseph, you know how it goes in chapter 39. God honors, blesses this young man, raises him all the way up to be the leader in Potiphar's house. The Bible says that he was a handsome young man and that Potiphar's wife makes a pass at him over and over again. And at just the right moment when they were alone in the house, she made a pass to him. He did what we should all do in the face of temptation. He runs. He literally runs. You know the story. She grabs the garment. She claims rape. All the guys who were not in the house servant, she said, this young Hebrew boy just raped me. And you know the story, Potiphar comes home, and as you can imagine, throws him into jail. Not for doing the wrong thing, but for actually doing the right thing. And I wonder how many times in the quiet moments of Joseph's heart and mind did the enemy say, where's God? You honored God by not getting, you'd be in a much better situation had you just given to your sin. Where's God in this darkness? Where's God in this pit? And we understand that the story of Joseph, right? It's the whole back end of the book of Genesis. It's easy for us to read because we know the end of the story. We know that God used that time period in his life. 13 years locked up in a prison for being wrongfully accused. But God honored it and blessed it. And you see the repeated phrase, even as it comes to the time later on in verse 21 of chapter 39, that the Lord was with him. And what's amazing about it is it just doesn't say that God was with him. It's the word Yahweh. What it speaks of is Lord Kyrios. What it speaks of is sovereignty. What it speaks of is authority. What it speaks of is this. All that Joseph was dealing in was falling under the authority and the sovereign hand of God. But like him, how many of us in those moments can see the Lord in that darkness? And I've said it to you before, and I'll say it to you again. It's a message that has stuck with me, and I think it's the message of Joseph. When you can't see the hands of God, you have to trust the heart of God. That sometimes as you study scripture and see story after story, many men and women of faith could say, God, where are you in this situation? Matter of fact, almost every story you could look at, they would say, God, where are you in this situation? And yet what you find through it all is that God is always faithful. Whether we can see him in the moment, understand him in the moment, get it in the moment, it doesn't matter. He's not calling us to understand, he's calling us to trust. And in the story of Joseph, it is a story of a man trusting God in circumstances that made no sense at all, and yet God showing himself faithful. And so next week, man, I'm excited to jump into this series with you. But I thought what we would do on this day as we again just want to pause and acknowledge and celebrate what God has done is pause and acknowledge and celebrate what God is going to do. I stand on this stage to tell you something this morning. It's the first time I've said it from this stage. I was supposed to share it in a staff meeting a week and a half ago, but I've been out sick and I feel like the Lord is leading me here. Some of you have gone through a new members class recently, have heard this. I've heard someone say, Lord Heath. Woo. What's God stirring in your heart here in these days of River Oak Church? And I'll just stand to tell you, it's planting. It's planting. That the DNA of this church has been a church plant for 25 years, and it has been something that we have recognized was going to happen, and we did. We've planted Pastor Kyle and Kim. We didn't know that our first plant would be overseas. God made that known and has honored and blessed that ministry, and it is continuing to up and grow. However, I believe this is the next step in the life of our church is planting. The details of that, I'm gonna show you in PowerPoint right now. Go ahead and put it up. I'm just kidding, I have no details. Some of y'all looked up there like you were looking at the, ain't no details up there. This is something I'm asking you to pray about. This is all I'm doing this morning is as a body of believers. I don't know what it means. I'm gonna take it before our council. We're gonna continue to take it before our staff and say, hey, I know 7 years ago as we planted and looked at the visioning of our church, we talked about the 1 year, the 3 year, the 7 year. And 7 years we talked about planning locally. Understanding that this was not the promised land, that this building was not the promised land, that this building's a launching pad. This building is a resource. This building is something that we can take and go out. And so I believe we're at that phase of now God has maximized this property and it's now time to go multiply the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we need to be praying about that. So I'm asking what that looks like, what that means. I have no idea. Just asking the body of believers of River Oak Church to join in me as we pray about God's leading in this next season. I'm asked Pastor Caleb to come out at this time. I've asked him come to pray over us as we look forward to the future. And so I'm just gonna have you stay seated where you are, and then we're gonna celebrate with some worship at the end. God bless you. Can we just again give the Lord another round of applause as we celebrate the work that he has done?
I'm gonna pray for us. Will you pray with me? God, we come to you recognizing your power. Lord, we recognize your provision. We recognize that you are God over all. Lord, you're God over this universe and in this world, in this country. Lord, you're God over all. And yet you meet us here in this place. Lord, showing your intentionality, showing how personal you are. And we, God, we recognize that this is not our church. But God, this is your church. And God, it's for your glory, and it's not for our glory. And God, we want to submit to your plans and not to our plans. We want to submit to your will and not to our will, because God, we know that they are better and that they are good. God, we trust your sovereignty. God, we trust your heart for us. God, as we think about what you've done and what you will do, Lord, we lean on your provisions. God, we ask that you would fill us with great wisdom beyond our experience. God, that you would align our hearts and minds around your will and your plans and your way. Lord, as a church family, that you'd reveal what our part and our purpose is in that. Lord, we recognize we don't come to this place for our own good or for our own consumption, but Lord, we come to this place to worship how great you are and how great you've been and how great we know you will be. So Lord, would you move powerfully in us? Would you prepare us for what you have next? And God, in it all, would you get the glory? Lord, would it be for our good, but for your glory? Lord, we love you and we lean on you. And so, God, as we even worship here in the next moments, God, would your spirit be moving in us and through us? We pray your blessing over this church family, and we pray your blessing over how you will lead us in the coming weeks, months, and years. We give it all to you, and we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.